Welcome to Little Joe's Conservative Corner, the podcast where we delve into the latest news through a conservative lens. In each episode, Little Joe sifts through the top headlines and news articles, offering insightful commentary and analysis from a right-leaning perspective. Whether it's politics, culture, or current events, this show explores the issues that matter most to conservative listeners.
Get ready
to cut through the noise and get to the heart of what's really going on in the world today.
Let's get started.
Welcome to Little Joe's Conservative Corner.
All right, we're going to jump right into it. No video this time, but we're going to get to it. Just coming out, thanks to an order by Judge Cannon, key evidence related to classified documents case and the now are unredacted. And there is quite a bit that has been unredacted. This, where I found it from, is Julie Kelly. She's the one that I saw that initially dropped this. You have your redacted versions from the DOJ. They requested to be redacted. This is in regards to the document case that they are doing down here in Florida, and the unredacted. It's two completely different worlds. We now know, because of the unredacted, that there is absolutely positive evidence that the DOJ definitely collaborated with Biden in the White House and NARA to fabricate a case against Trump. It's now proof because of what the judge did. I mean, it's really kind of outrageous, but I'm going to give you the redacted first and then the unredacted. So this is going to be a lot of reading. Forgive me if I have a few blips here and there. Early indications of NARA bias. Almost as soon as President Trump left office, NARA started to work with the White House Office of Record Management on exaggerating claims related to the handling of the PRA. On May 5th of 2021, less than 5 months after the end of President Trump's term, NARA General Counsel Gary Stem, then it goes into redacted. This is all you get after that. Stern noted that. Stern's draft. USA 0038356. Emphasis added. Example 2. USA 0081315. Then it went to, however, in early June 2021, during an ongoing good faith efforts by President Trump's PRA representatives to address issues raised by the NARA. That's it. What it says in between now, this is the unredacted version that has just been released. So where I left off, where the first redaction began, is it says less than 5 months after the end of President Trump's term, the NARA General Counsel Gary Stern sent an internal email attaching a draft letter to the president to President Trump's PRA representatives. Example 1, Stern noted that he had several conversations with WHORM, Person 40, and that Person 40 had raised some of these concerns directly with David Farino? And then all that was redacted. And it said Stan's draft, if you remember, then this was redacted, concluded that things were very chaotic, as they always are in the course of a one-term transition, and he acknowledged that the transfer of Trump's electronic records is still ongoing and won't be complete for several more months. And I remember it was redacted again, and all you got was the US-00 whatever. It says the employee containing, it went on to say, explaining to the FBI that it is not uncommon for the PRA's material collections that extends past the close of any presidential administration, sometimes well after the close of any given presidential administration. However, in early June 2021, during an ongoing good faith efforts by President Trump's PRA representatives to address the issue by the NARA, Ferrario declared, I'm out of patience. So this wasn't about giving somebody their time. You're out of patience because that's the way you feel. The next portion that, I mean, it's so heavily redacted, it's almost not worth reading it to you because it doesn't really give you any insight. It says, in an August 30th, 2021 email, redacted. All the way till Stern's email stated that, redacted. In late September 2021, without disclosing, the NARA had already drafted a referral letter and contacted DOJ, Deputy White House Counsel Jonathan Sue, redacted. On October 5th, 2021, Stern sent an internal email, redacted. I mean, I got to be honest with you. All this redacted crap doesn't make any sense. If you can't release something because of sensitive material that's in there, then you just shouldn't release it at all, because this is as good as having nothing. Here is the unredacted version that I will read to you once again. In August 30, 2021, an email, Farino or Ferrerio. God, it's hard to pronounce. Ferrerio. I haven't heard his name said. Threatened one of President Trump's PRA representatives that he was assuming an alleged and ongoing, non-existent 24 boxes of records have been destroyed, and that he was obligated to report it to the Hill, DOJ, and the White House. He's assuming. I mean, that's your biggest part. You're assuming something was destroyed. They never said it was destroyed. They're working with you. Obviously, the archives told you that these types of transitions and this collection takes time, and it could take many months after the president is out of office to compile all of this. But you are going to assume. And by assuming and reporting it, you're starting everything right there. That's this is where the problem lies. This is where you're fabricating a crime. On September 1st of 2021, Stern circulated a letter that we could consider sending to the Attorney General about missing Trump records. Person 21 and Person 53 began drafting the DOJ referral letters during the first week of September of 2021. Stern's email stated that he had informally reached out to the DOJ counsel about this issue, and that the White House counsel is now also aware of this issue, and they have asked that I keep them in the loop to the extent of what we make any reference to. Beyond that, it goes into, in late September of 2021, without disclosing, the NARA had already drafted a referral letter and contacted the DOJ. Deputy White House Counsel Jonathan Sue asked one of the President Trump's PRA representatives to permit Person 40 to access notes from the Trump administration relating to records handling. Sue then intervened, when Stern offered to provide a copy of the notes to President Trump's PRA representative. And he said, could we discuss this process before anything is provided to him? Stern agreed to coordinate on this issue with the Biden administration, but informed Sue that the request was atypical. Normally, we would have to provide the records to him per notification/review process before we could provide anything to you. 2 days later, Stern assured Sue that the PRA representative had not been asked to see the records. So, I mean, it's terrible. It's hiding records. You could just see the plot formulating behind the scenes. Okay, the White House and the DOJ immediately got involved and wanted to deploy a criminal case against Trump for records mismanagement. It appears that the first go-round, it was more about destruction, because that's what they're talking about originally, is that potentially 24 boxes of letters were destroyed. But then I guess because of the word assuming, and since it's redacted, once it gets into court and it's no longer redacted and people see assuming, you know what they say about assuming. So they had to drop that. The NARA... was working with the DOJ and White House to craft criminal referral at September of 21st, which is 5 months before the official referral by the NARA to the DOJ in February of 2022. So they took their time and slowly planned this out to make sure that they could try to find something that they could attach to President Trump. I don't know. Let me just continue on. Insiders like Andrew, this is directly from Julie Kelly. I'm going to read this, quote unquote, this is what she put in there. Now you know why insiders like Andrew Weissman and Brad McQuaid are desperate to get rid of Judge Cannon. Well, yeah, of course. Judge Cannon's a nightmare for him because unredacting everything and allowing people to see what was actually going on behind the scenes, it just shows you are prosecuting him politically. You're attacking your political opponent. Ultimately, the last set of letters that she sent out here after we found all that out was the DOJ told the NARA what to do to cover their tracks on all of this. I mean, this is as dirty as it gets. It's just as corrupt as it gets. They're going after Trump because they do not want him to be president. That's all this is about. This is about nothing more than that, which you already knew. This is not like I'm telling you something you didn't know, but it's always a positive thing to know that what you've been thinking the whole time, and it's been through little fragments of evidence, and you were smart enough to put the pieces of the puzzle together. It's now that everything is starting to be revealed, and it's just justifying how you saw it and that you knew you were right, and you know you're right in this case. I looked up laws, and I was going through all the different laws on what Joe Biden is doing to Trump. And I would encourage anybody who is a lawyer who studies this to reach out to me. To send me an email. You know, if you got to, hit me up on social media first and send me an email. Contact me somehow, some way. I'd like to talk to you about it because I can't find a specific law that you could hold these people accountable for. And I'd be curious what lawyer, how crafty they would get and what laws they could use and what old court cases they know about that they could put together to create a case against Joe Biden, the DOJ, the NARA, all of them. What could you do to go get them? And then what is the penalties for this? How long do you spend in jail? Because what I found, like if you look up election interference, it's really more about voting. It's really about stopping people from voting. It's about creating fake IDs and fake voters. It's more about that, and it's a lot less of going after somebody politically. You start going after somebody politically, I mean, you can't go with treason, because if you look at the definition in the Constitution, or not the definition, but at least the two examples they give in the Constitution, treason is levying war against America, or in adhering to their enemies, giving aid and comfort to your enemies. I mean, you could probably get Joe Biden on that with China and Ukraine and everybody else, because those are certainly our enemies, and he definitely aids them consistently, especially financially. But I don't really see anything pertaining to what could you actually go after them for. And I almost feel like the reason that they haven't done anything, why Trump's lawyers haven't hit back, is I don't know if there's a lot you can do, because maybe it's very difficult to prove political persecution. But I would say with what I just showed you and all these unredacted versions of this, or just talked to you about, and only redacted versions of this, I would say that you got probably a pretty good standing there to say that this is political persecution. And what do you do to somebody for that? You're attacking a political opponent. What is the punishment? You know, what is the jail time? I mean, can you go after him? Can you not? I would be curious to know. I'm not a lawyer. I don't study law. Okay. Certainly didn't go to Harvard. Thank God. If I went to Harvard, I would probably be sitting here talking about Joe Biden, because they would have indoctrinated me and screwed my brain up. I mean, at least maybe for a little while. I don't know. Maybe not, because I've been pretty one way my whole life, and I probably would have just told them all to kick rocks and asked why I'm going to this school. But I would be curious to know. You know, you got to wonder, what can he do about it? However, there is some joy in knowing that you were right. And this is proving that you were right. And as always, the truth always comes to light. It's just a matter of time. Things just take some time, and eventually it comes out. But President Trump, I'd be curious to see where the case goes from there. What is the jury going to think when they see all this? They see they're setting him up. Hey, what jury would convict you? My God, if you convict a man just because you hate him and not on the facts, That is terrible. I know in New York and places like that, they hate him so much. He's guilty before he even got to court. But before they even filed the case against him, he was guilty. In places like D.C. and New York, it was over before it began. But in the normal parts of America, they wouldn't take this case serious at all. They would look at something like that and it would be over before it began, but in a different way. They would look at this and say, you got nothing here, you know, dismissed, have a nice life. It's crazy, the battle that we are in for this country. But again, the purpose of me bringing this up solely was for you to drink your coffee this morning, put a smile on your face, to know that once again, all the people that said that you wear a tinfoil hat and you're a conspiracy theorist and you're wrong, you were just proven right 100% once again. So at a minimum, at least wear a smile for a little while today. Pat yourself on the back. Know that you're not crazy. Yes, the struggle is real. Yes, the corruption is real. And you definitely are on the right side of things.
And that wraps up another episode of Little Joe's Conservative Corner.
Thank you for tuning in and joining the conversation.
Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on all our latest episodes. And join us next time as we continue to explore the issues that shape our world. Until then, stay informed and stay engaged.